After hearing the first news report, Paul made his way to Tracy's flat. He had his own set of keys, and when his knocks failed to elicit a response, let himself in. He waited impatiently for Tracy to come home, only popping out to buy the evening papers. Splashed over the front page of the Chronicle was the headline, Vegan Terror. Paul preferred the Recorder's snappier summation, Espresso Massacre. The facts were pretty much the same as those given on the radio. As far as Paul could tell, the cops didn't have any leads. Paul read through these articles, laughing at their appalling inaccuracies. He was about to put the radio on to listen for further reports about the attack when Tracy arrived home. "I was so worried about you," Paul said. "I'm okay," Tracy reassured him. "Edward was a bit zealous and killed a couple of people. Catfish hauled him out of the calf to stop him killing a third. He seemed to think the deaths would ensure better publicity." "He was right," Paul sighed, pointing at the open newspapers. "But I wish I'd never introduced you to him." "There's more reasons you'll wish that than you can imagine at present," Tracy replied, grim-faced. "Look, all I know is I don't want you mixed up with Case anymore. I can't live without you, and I don't want to see you sent down on a murder rap." "I've been trying to tell you about Case," Tracy sobbed. "I know all about him," Paul replied irritably. "He's a nutter. There's nothing more you need to tell me." "Yes, there is," Tracy protested. "I've been having sex with him." Paul's jaw dropped. "You won't see him again." "I love you both," Tracy whispered. "If you love me, you won't see him again." Paul's voice was no longer tentative. Tracy kissed him on the mouth. "I want to go on seeing both of you," she whispered. "He's evil," Paul hissed. "He steals people's girlfriends." "Please, Paul," Tracy was almost crying. "I'm not your property. You don't own me. No one can steal me from you." "Bitch," Paul screamed as he rose and hauled Tracy up with him. Paul was pulling Tracy towards the door and she was pulling as hard as she could in the opposite direction. Suddenly, Paul pushed Tracy in the direction she was pulling. She tripped over and sprawled on the floor. Tracy began to sob. It was the fact that Paul had been violent rather than the few bruises she'd received that hurt her. "I'm sorry, I didn't mean it." Paul was bending over her, helping her to her feet. "Are you okay?" "I guess so," Tracy replied. She sat down. "I don't know what came over me." Paul sounded as if he was choking. "I love you more than anything. I've got no future without you. Forgive me." "It's okay," Tracy reassured him. "Paul," Tracy pleaded as his hands began to hitch up her skirt. "Just hug me. I've had too much for one day. I just don't want sex." Paul must have heard the words, but he behaved as if he hadn't, or if he had, that they simply didn't make sense. Tracy resigned herself to what was happening. He wanted reassuring. He wanted something physical. She'd let him have sex, although her heart wasn't in it. He pulled down her knickers. Tracy knew what was coming next. Paul was so predictable. He lapped at a pubic mound. A little sex juice began to flow. Emotionally, the last thing Tracy wanted was a fuck. She forced herself to make a few grunts. These only served to encourage Paul in his misapprehension. Tracy was not enjoying this thing at all. Paul pulled off Tracy's T-shirt. She didn't resist. She didn't help any more than was necessary. She just lifted her arms and shifted her body weight as required. She didn't pull at Paul's clothes. She gave no sign that she wanted him to take them off, but he took them off anyway. Paul was on top of her, kissing her. He was passionate and her response was mechanical. She was nowhere near orgasm. Paul came once, but he wouldn't be satisfied until Tracy came too. "What's the matter?" he demanded as he kept pumping away. "Don't I turn you on any more? Are you too busy thinking about your new boyfriend?" He'd put the thought into Tracy's mind. She thought of Edward, imagined that Paul was Edward. She was thrashing about now, enjoying it, screaming. "Fuck me, for Christ's sake, put some effort into it," she hissed. Paul was excited too. He'd almost come to believe she was bored with him, but he only had to look at her now to see this wasn't true. Tracy's arms were bent up around her head. Beads of sweat were glistening in her armpits. Paul put his head down and began to lick the salty fluid. His hands went up and caught hers and pinned her arms above her head. Tracy was thinking of Case. She was imagining it was Edward making love to her. That Paul was Edward. She knew that if Edward had turned up and ordered her to have sex with him in front of Paul, she could not have refused. These thoughts of Edward set off a DNA-encoded chain reaction. Tracy's orgasm set off Paul's. Paul was imagining they'd reached a peak from which lover and loved one can never jointly return. "I bet Case can't make you come like that," Paul was smirking.